their hearts where these prayer thoughts come from. Lord God, it is our prayer together as the church with the elders here in front. Lord God, praying from the depths of our hearts that may you help those who will be receiving this prayer thought. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We may be seated. Amen. I would like to greet the church in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Not forgetting the elders here in front. I'm surrounded by the pastors. I feel so much honored, and I say, may God bless them. And again, I want to thank the elders of this church for allowing me to stand behind this sacred desk. Amen. As they have already told you my name, my name is Daniel. My surname is Khonyani. I came with my wife as she was being introduced. Myself, it's not for the first time to be in this tabernacle. I think to stand behind this is for the third time. But to be in this area, I think, is 5 or 6 times. Amen. Last time when I was here, it was during the time when we were laying the remains of our beloved Pastor Chesa. We were also touched by what happened. Myself and my family, because we knew Pastor Chesa from long. And there are many lessons I learned from him that will remain with me. Amen. And we hope by now the church and the family, God has helped you to accept, because it has been our prayer all the time that may God intervene in times like this. Amen. May God bless you. I see my friend there, Brother Hobe. He used to come to our place many times, but these days I don't know. I will try to find out who stopped him from coming. I think I will find the person. Amen. God bless you, Mukoma. Amen. Our coming here is not to preach. We have got our pastor here, Pastor Gomichi. I think he's one of the South Africans. Because this surname Gomichi, in our language, it's Komiki, means cup. So I think one day we must take him back home. So maybe because of that relationship, he arranged that me and my wife should come this side just to have a rest. So we were accommodated in Kariba since last week, towards the end of last week, until yesterday. Amen. We had a good rest. And we want to appreciate Pastor Komichi for the good job that he has done. I was asking my wife, have you rested? She said, yes, I've rested. Because the type of the jobs that are done by them, sometimes they need rest. Now, if she has rested, I'm also rested. Amen. God bless you. I see my elder here in front of me. I say, may God bless him. So, since I'm not here to preach, it's just to greet the church. Just to appear that I am in your borders. But the purpose was not to preach, it was to rest. Amen. May God bless you. Right. Maybe let's not waste much time because it's midweek. Those who can, we may stand on our feet. And then turn from our Bibles. We'll read from chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. Amen. It says, to everything there is a reason, there is a season, and time to every purpose under the heaven. Maybe before we could sit down, let's read from Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. We will ask Pastor Mabugu to bless the reading of the word in prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, tonight we are thankful we are gathered at your feet. We want to invite your spirit to come down and take over. Take the vessel, anoint the vessel, much more anoint our ears to be able to hear the way you want us to hear. And may you bless our lives by the transformation that comes out of your word.
Amen.
I pray, believing, may you be with us from start to finish of this service, and we'll be careful to give glory and honor back to your name. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. We may take our seats.
Amen.
Tonight, I just want to share with you a little thought that says a slight change of perspective. Amen. Not that much change, but a slight change. Amen. We hope it will make a difference. Amen. I remember someone one day was asking a question, saying, did you ever notice the dust particles floating in front of a window on a sunny day? Isn't it interesting that if you change your position just slightly, you can't see those particles anymore? Amen. They are there. Then they are not there. Amen. I think maybe all of us, we experience that. Sometimes when we are seated in a certain direction or position, when the light is throwing some rays through the window, you can see something like dust. But if you can change your position a little bit, you will not see that dust. But that dust is there. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. I think this is where I got my subject. Amen.
Amen.
Right. It says, it all depends on the angle you look at the window. The answer to our problems are always right in front of us. It's there. Amen. For you right now. You just can't see it yet. Why not? All you need is a slight change of perspective. And then everything becomes clear. Amen.
Amen.
Are we together, saints? Remember, I'm not preaching. I was requested to greet the church. And this is how I'm greeting you. Just to let you know that I was within the borders of Harare. Now I will be going back home. Kumusha. Amen. God bless you. Amen. We read two scriptures. One says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And the second one was saying, all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen. I like the scriptures so much because they don't generalize, they specify. The last scripture says, all things work together for good. But not to everybody. To them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. To such, all things work together for good. There is nothing that will happen without a purpose. But in most cases, we fail because when we see some challenges around us, we fail to know or to realize the purpose of those challenges. By failing to realize the purpose, we start to regard the challenge as a problem. And once we develop that, we start to complain about things that are happening around us. Amen.
Amen.
I believe when we finish here, we are going to have very few people that will complain from now going forward. Amen.
Amen.
Because now we know that all things worketh for good to us, because we are the ones who love the Lord. And our calling to be here, it's by a purpose. We are not here just to fill the chairs. There's a purpose. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when things are happening around us, we should know the purpose of that. And if you don't know the purpose, you just need a slight change of perspective. Then you will know the purpose. But in most cases, we believers, we are not worried about changing the perspective. We sit there, even if we don't see the solution to the problem. Amen. But tonight, I'm inviting you that when certain things are happening around you, don't sit there and be rigid. You need to be flexible. I know someone is seated here. He's saying, this man is a stranger here. He doesn't know what I'm going through. I used to say, whether I know or I don't know, as a Christian, you are not supposed to complain. Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because you are a Christian. The unbelievers have got that right. Because they are not called according to the purpose. They just exist. But we have got a purpose. Amen.
Amen.
And in the actual, there is nothing that should happen without our knowledge. Amen.
Amen.
But the message of Malachi 4 has got that restoring power. The purpose of this message is to bring us back to our original position. Amen.
Amen.
When we are in our original position, then we know. That's why in the beginning, God brought everything before Adam. Adam was not confused. Why did Adam know that this is a mombe? This is huku. Why did he know that? Because no one told him about it. But it was something that was happening next to him. It was something that was presented before him. But he had the answer of all the things that were around him. Because he had something in himself. Amen.
Amen.
That's why with us today, the Bible says we must be born again. There it's not a request. It's a must. If you want to be a believer, you must be born again. Because new birth places you to a position where you will understand better. Amen.
Amen.
And if you are not born again, it means you are rigid. When things come your way, you don't have an answer. Amen.
Amen.
But if you are a born again someone, you will know the purpose of what is happening here. Whether good or bad, I know when good things are happening, we are not worried about knowing why. But when bad things or negative things are happening, it's where we start to crack our heads. Amen. And sometimes when things are happening like that, our reactions start to show us whether we are believers or not. Amen. Maybe I'm greeting you in a wrong way. But I see that brother is waving. He says that is the right greeting. Even if others are not saying I'm greeting you very well, but I will talk to that brother. Amen. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it says, for by one spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have been all made to drink into one spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the one that is baptizing us into the body. And we know that the body is the church. And we know that the head of the church is Christ. If there is that connection, it means whatever is known by the head will be transmitted to the body. Amen. Whatever the head knows, the body will know.
Amen.
So let's thank the Lord for his plan of redemption. Amen. By bringing Christ. Amen. That he should die. Then we should receive that life in the form of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because without the Holy Spirit, we cannot please God. Without faith, we cannot please God. Amen. May God bless us. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 12 to 15, I will read quickly. Maybe the brother will not read, I will read alone. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the ways which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, amen, the natural man is that man who is very rigid, who hasn't got the Holy Spirit. When things are happening, he doesn't know. Amen. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Amen. May God bless you. Amen. I know and I believe that this church is made of families. Amen. If we are families coming from different places with problems, when we come here, we are going to become a big problem. Amen. But if we come from our respective homes without complaints, this church will not have complaints. Amen. Now, we want to minimize this word complain from our vocabularies. The unbelievers cannot do more than us. There was a certain man called Napoleon Bonaparte. Those who read history. That man, he conquered the world at the age of
33.
Not he conquered one country. The world at the age of
33.
Amen.
Amen.
But for him to do that, he had a determination. He said, in his dictionary, there is no the word impossible. He went further and said, the word impossible is found in the dictionary of the fools. It's not me. That man.
Amen.
But in his dictionary, he erased that word impossible. Now I'm urging the church tonight that there are certain words that need to be eliminated. From our vocabulary. There are many. But for tonight, I'm urging the church. Or I humbly request you that in that vocabulary of yours, delete complaint.
Amen.
But when you delete something, you need to replace it with something. Now, let's agree to delete that word from now. And we replace that word with appreciate.
Amen.
Are we together? My audience is increasing. That man was my audience. But now I see it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we agreed that complaining, when we get out of these doors, it will be for the last time. We use it when we speak. Instead of complaining, learn to appreciate. We are very much aware that certain things we grew up doing them, they cannot be blotted out overnight. But let's learn to appreciate instead of complaining.
Amen.
But I will give you one option that will allow you to complain.
Amen.
The elders are begging me up here. I'm not alone. I'm with them. But through their permission, I'm giving you the right to complain on certain conditions only. Amen.
Amen.
But when those conditions are not met, don't ever complain in your life. But don't wish to meet those conditions because you want to complain. Amen.
Amen.
The right to complain is when there is absolutely nothing good about the thing you want to complain about. Did you get it? Or should I repeat? Right. You are only given the right to complain only if there is absolutely nothing good about the thing that you want to complain about. If there is nothing good, nothing, even a single thing, then you have got the right to complain. But if there is at least one thing,
one,
out of the thing which is good, then we should have started to appreciate. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, I said this church, it's made out of families. And families, I know, sometimes the complaints are too much in the families. The husband may complain about the wife. The wife may complain about the husband. But today we have got a solution. Amen. If that sister, before you could complain, just check if ever in her life she ever did one thing good. If you can count one, stop complaining. Start to appreciate that. I thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, one may say, what about these other things? What she's not doing well? You report that to your God. Amen.
Amen.
And when you report them, you don't report them being angry. That I don't know, Lord, you gave me a wrong partner. No, she or he is not wrong. Otherwise, we will be contradicting ourselves. Because we say, God is the giver of good gifts. Your spouse is the best gift. Maybe when you look at her or when you look at him, you see some particles. Amen. Now you will need just to change the direction a little bit. Then you will start to appreciate him. Amen.
Amen.
First of all, sister, that brother, he chose you among the ladies. Amen.
Amen.
And you know very well that there are ladies. That are maybe better than yourself. But what forced him to ignore all those ladies and chose you? You should start appreciating. Otherwise, maybe you were to be single by now. But that man, he did something good. He married you. What else do you complain about? Amen. I hope you will agree with me when I say the word complain, it's going to be erased from now going forward. And I'm telling you, once we can learn to do that, we are going to be a lovely church. Because if you are used to complain, you will complain to anything. Amen.
Amen.
They say somebody was complaining because he was not having some shoes. Amen. Complaining about that. Until he saw someone not complaining without feet. Amen.
Amen.
If we can relax and start to check the situation of someone next to you may be worse than yours. But sometimes the enemy robs us so much until we think that our challenges are bigger than all the challenges. It's not like that. Amen.
Amen.
So, is this the way of greeting the people in Eastley? Amen.
Amen.
We read about Moses. I believe all of you know about Moses. He was a prophet. Amen.
Amen.
In fact, he was God. According to the program of God. Because God said you will be God and your brother will be a prophet. Amen.
Amen.
The whole Moses, the very Moses, the one who knew about the order in Israel, that under no circumstance should a believer marry an unbeliever. He didn't need someone to remind him. He knew that. But he married an outsider by the name of Zipporah. The worst part. Amen. She was highly tempered. Now, Aaron and Miriam, when they looked at that, they started to complain. Amen.
Amen.
That this woman is ill-treating our brother. If he had married one of us, would not behave like this. This temper, it's bothering our brother. But why did he marry an unbeliever? But when you read the spoken word, says it was not the choosing of Moses. It was the choosing of God. Against the law. Brethren, We must know that God does not owe us anything. Let me repeat it again. When he does anything, he doesn't need our permission. He can do whatever he sees fit. Whether we like it or we don't like it, he does it. But in most cases, when you can go deeper into that, you will see that this types this. Amen.
Amen.
May God bless us. Amen. Right, when we read from the book, The Spoken Word and Exodus, preached on the 15th of June, 1956, he married this Zipporah. And she was high-tempered. Moses was too.
Amen.
Right. Moses had temper. But God allowed him to marry someone with more temper than his. Moses was too. So I guess there was some little trouble on the backside of the desert once in a while. Don't turn your wife down because she's got a little temper. Maybe that's your cross. God might have given it to kinder keep you lined up. Amen. Yeah, I like it. So that you can be straight. Brother, maybe you were complaining that what kind of a woman is this that I married? No, maybe God wants you to be mwah. Or the sister was complaining that this husband of mine is not like others. The way he does things. But God allowed it for a purpose. That's why we say we need to know the purpose of everything that is happening around us. And if you fail to realize the purpose, you become miserable. Because you will keep on complaining for certain things that you will never change. But the best is this, brethren. If you can see that this person you are living with has got something, at least one, that he has done correct or good, take that and go before God. Have a good approach to God. Start by thanking him. That, Lord, I thank you. I don't know if it was not because of this man, I would be single by now. And I appreciate it, Lord. But there are some little things that Amen. It sounds like a joke. But those who can take what I'm telling them, they will see a change in their homes. You don't shout at the person. You report him to the Lord. Not that the Lord should punish him. No. Should change the person. Amen. Let's try it. How many wants to try that? God bless you. Let's go and try it. Rather than complaining, do you know that they say most of these diseases, sicknesses, they come from complaining too much? So it means now as believers we should remain healthy. because this word complaining will be out of our vocabulary. We will always appreciate. When last did you appreciate when your wife was giving you a cup of tea? Or you just took it and drink and say, come and take the cups. Let's learn to appreciate. Thank you. We know you are the one who bought the groceries. But the one who prepared that grocery, it's your wife. Learn to appreciate her. If drinking, appreciate. That thing will work on the person. That, hey, what's happening now? This person is always appreciating me. I should try my best to please him or her. Because she will know that even if I can prepare some meat, he's going to appreciate. She will see how can she please you so that she can receive some appreciation. Amen.
Amen.
I hope we are going to start to appreciate. Starting from home. We should appreciate our children. If they have washed your car, he brings the key back, you say, my son, I appreciate what you did. In a way, you are teaching him that when he has got his own family, he will know that we appreciate. That's why certain things, they backfire on us. Because we fail. Now, where they have gone to, they can't tolerate such. Because we didn't teach them to appreciate, to respect, to do things right. Now, you find that he's married, not knowing how to appreciate. Then it will cause problems. Oh, amen. Maybe that's your cross. God might give it to kind keep you lined up. Same thing with you women to your husbands. Stick together. Promised God you would. So stay with it. This great servant Moses preached 22nd January 1955. So Zipporah was kind of high-tempered. She proved it when she cut the foreskin of her son and threw it before Moses and said, thou art a bloody husband to me. Amen.
Amen.
Iwe murume marazi. Amen. My, I would imagine things wasn't too peaceful at times. Then out back there, God, what was God doing? Schooling into the boy's mind. Or the man's mind. What the program of God was. Amen.
Amen.
Are we still together? Are you still happy? Amen.
Amen.
Can we continue a little bit? Amen.
Amen.
Right. The message Shalom, preached on the 19th January 1964, paragraph 150. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you don't understand a symphony, it's a big bunch of racket to you. If you don't understand it, you have got to understand what it is. It is all done by signs and motions. But it acts out a drama in this symphony. Right? Now we notice the only one that understands a symphony is the composer. Amen, which is God. Amen. God is the one who understands everything that we go through. And he knows the reasons. Amen. And then again, those who understand the symphony are those who are interested in knowing it. Knows its changes. Knows what takes place. The composer knows every move from the end to the beginning, or from the beginning to the end. Did you know that? For God knows everything is under his control. He knows everything. And why those things are happening like that? Amen. The composer knows every move, okay, that we passed on. The one who wrote it up, he composes this. He knows every little junction. If he knows every junction, so does the director have to do to direct it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, in this case, let's take the composer as God. As believers. Amen.
Amen.
For us to be real believers without complaints, we should be in the same spirit of the composer. Remember, they say the symphony is done by signs and motions. But it acts out a drama in this symphony.
Amen.
Amen. Now, maybe let's take it like, I don't know, what do you call it, the musicians? The notes in the music. There are high notes, low notes, and what, right? But for the director to sing that song correctly, he has to know what the composer was trying to achieve. I still remember when I was at school, I was not good in singing. And then there were choirs, so on. But there was another teacher who was conducting boys' choir. I was part of that group. But the teacher did not know music that much. Normally, when you won in the area, you go to the region, so on and so on, to compete with others. We never went out because of this teacher. Amen. He would come to conduct us a little bit drunk. When we see doing those things, he will go down, and it means we should lower. Go lower. He will go down until he goes until the strength is not allowing him to come back. Now you find that the choir doesn't know how low should they go. Because when they say, it means you should go lower. Now you go lower until you can't say a thing. Now when he goes more than that, hey, we are surprised that now, what is taking place here? Until he fell on the floor. So it is important for the director to be in the spirit of the composer. He must not come drunk here. He must come sober-minded. Even with us Christians, when we come to the matters of our God, I don't say we are drinking, but somehow we are overtaken by certain things until we are not sober to that level. Do you know the person you married is the Son of God? Do you know the person you married is the daughter of God? Is the purchase of the blood. But sometimes we treat them like they are our properties. It means we are not far from that teacher who was not sober in articulating certain things. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. He knows every little junction. If he knows every little thing to do, one little miscue of that stick, the director will be this. Amen. Miscue of that stick, or one little hole or throw the. That's true. The composer, director has to be in the spirit. Sending of restoration back to traditions, where we will have the mind of Christ. The scripture says, in Christ, be in, which means that mind is in Christ. Because he will know. When he beats that stick like means, written. Now you know that here I have to go down. Same spirit.
Amen.
The Feast of the Trumpets, July 140. That's the mad. That's too many directors not in the spirit of the composer. We expect. We are believers. Without the spirit of God, what do we expect? That's why it is important that we must be born again. We must have that spirit. Because without that spirit, we remain sinners. Without that spirit, we cannot interpret what is happening around us. Without that spirit, we will not have the mind of Christ. And here, there is no in between. It's either is the mind of Christ or is the mind of. Maybe I'm too harsh. It's okay, Brother Hobe? All right. There's no in between. It's either you are a believer or you are not a believer. And for us to be counted as believers, it's not when we come together like this. It's not that because you are attending a message church. No, it's not like that. A believer believes. Amen.
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 Right. Shalom.
Shalom.
Preached on the 19th January 1964, paragraph 171.
19th January 1964.
Don't break the rhythm if you are part of God's symphony. By one spirit, we are part of God's symphony. By one spirit, we are baptized into one body. Now, when you are in that body, don't break the rhythm if you are part of God's symphony. Don't break the rhythm of the word. Don't ask, well, why? Why did this happen? Amen.
Amen.
Around you. Maybe something that you did not like happened around you. Don't ask why it happened. God allowed it to happen. Now, what is remaining is that we need to know the purpose. Why did he allow it to happen? Failing to know the purpose. Brothers, sisters, I'm telling you, we are going to be miserable. Because we will continue complaining. That I know some other people are not living right, though they say their message. I'm trying hard, but why these things are happening around me? But those others, they prosper, but I am not prospering. Others, maybe they are not part of the symphony. You are part of the symphony. And don't break that symphony because of the unbelievers. When I say unbelievers, I don't mean people who are drinking beer out there. The people who just want to be in the message, not believing the message. Sorry for that statement. Remember, I didn't say the people of Eastley. I just said the people who just want to be in, associate with the message believers. They can prosper doing the shady deals, speaking lies, doing wrong things. You may see them like they are prospering. And you are trying your best, but your things are somehow, they don't go forward. No, don't worry, brother, sister. You are different from others. You are part of the symphony. Amen. But if you have that spirit of the composer, you will know that this is that, or that is this. But if you don't know that, I'm telling you, you will remain miserable, complaining, crying, that, why me, Lord? Why? No. it's not our position to ask why. Why did this happen? The prophet says, I tried it, Brother Branham, and when they turned me out, you know what I done? I just liked to starve to death. Don't ask why. He, God, knows the rhythm. How is God to change? Amen.
Amen.
And what junction is God to make? Yes, sir. For it is written. He knows all about it. Amen.
Amen.
Those who know more about the music, I'm a bad person when it comes to music. They know that the music is not level like this. If it starts to be level like this, it's not a good music. But if it goes down and comes up, and it drops again and take the direction or level direction, those who know music, they know now that now we are listening to the music. Even these instruments, if you can just hear the instrument saying quickling, quickling, only, it doesn't change. Amen. But if you hear some certain levels, you start to, now I'm enjoying music. Now, with God, it's the same. When He plays His music with our lives, when we are seated there in that condition with the challenges, He enjoys it. But I know all of us, we want to that everything should go dandy. Whatever you think should be there. Let me not promise you that. In this journey, things are not like that. Sometimes they are up. Sometimes they are down, 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 down. I don't know whether you know down, down. Even when you pray, you could hear that as if your words are going nowhere. But sometimes when you pray, when things are going well, you praising God, that how great are thou. But when things are very, very tough, your prayer is just like talking. The things of great thou art, and like the rivers and the mountains, they are not there. It will be just a tear. When you try to read the Bible, you don't hear a thing. And that doesn't mean God has left you. He is enjoying it. He's watching you. But during that time, we should be like Job. Let nothing bad come out of your mouth. He knows all about it. Amen. You see the life of Job and his wife. You can see that the wife of Job was not in the same position as Job. And when things were going smooth, it was like the sister also is a believer. But when challenges came, she did not have the answer. Amen. Of why are these things happening? And once you don't have the answer, brother, sister, you can sin against God. That's why it's necessary as believers that we should have a knowledge when certain things are happening around us. But the message has got full package of that. If we don't compromise with this message, it has got all the potentials to bring us there. But if we compromise on certain things, we make this message to be not effective. Amen. Are we still together? Shalom, the same book, paragraph 232. If you are not ready today, friend, maybe let's read it right. If you are not ready tonight, friend, start this new year outright. Start it with your hand in God's hand. In your heart, saying, Lord Jesus, I don't know what part of the symphony that you want me to play, but at when that junction comes for me to be persecuted, laughed at, made fun of, I still take my stand that your symphony will not be messed up because of me. Amen.
Amen.
The possibility of you messing up the symphony is there. Or maybe let me put it like this. How many times did we mess up the symphony of God? Many times. We need him to pardon us. Remember, brethren, maybe he was supposed to have chosen other people than us. But he left others and chose us to be in his economy. So that when he plays his symphony, it must bring out that what he expects from us. When he presses the keyboard, he knows that this one, when I press it, it will give out this sound. But if it fails, it messes up the whole symphony. He has got so much trust in us that his purpose should happen through our lives. But let's stop a minute and check. Are we fulfilling the purpose? If not, we need more of his grace. Amen.
Amen.
So this prayer, it's a serious prayer. It says, Jesus, I don't know what part of this symphony that you want me to play. But when that junction comes for me, there will come a time where you have to be pressed as well. Because you are part of the symphony. He cannot press other keys without pressing you to make the music sound good. Now, the prayer here, it says, right? When that junction comes for me to be pressed, to be played, to be persecuted, to be laughed at, to be made fun of. His prayer is that he should still take his stand. That God's symphony will not be messed up because of me. I will stay right with your word, no matter what it is. I will stay right there. And when death beats up to my door, that's part of the symphony. He understands that even when death steps at his door, it is part of his symphony. I know then that just as sure as it beat death up to my door, the resurrection will beat out one of these days. Two. And you will raise me up again. Even to raise us again, it is part of his symphony. Lord, let me part today. Let me be part today. Amen. Will you? Amen. 243. I will try to rush a little bit. I won't read the whole paragraph, but towards the end it says, remember, okay, when you are afflicted, persecuted, made fun of, remember, that's the part that goes that way. If that isn't like that, then, right, read with me. If things are not happening like that, then the symphony is out of tune. If you don't go through those challenges, if you don't want those challenges, you make the symphony to be out of tune. I don't say we should invite challenges. God knows what he is doing. If he lets you pass through such challenges, he knows that when you play it right, the symphony will be in the right tune. Amen.
Amen.
Right. God's word calls for a total separation from unbelief. Don't read it. I will just quote something. When we see these changes of ages and changes of times, sit here, and you will find out we are supposed to be here. When the challenges are surrounding us, we don't try to check from the Bible. But if we can check seriously, we will find that it was supposed to be like that. Many people asked, why? They ask sometimes, they ask me, why? Why must these things happen? What? Why did this happen to me? Why did I start and this happen? I had this trouble here, and this upset me here, and I lost this here. I'll jump. 203, it says he knows what it takes to mold you. He knows what kind of a material he is going to use. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to jump so that I can finish at 8. It's 1 minute to 8.
1 minute to 8.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother, Amen. Maybe let me talk to the brothers for 1 minute. Do you sometimes say sorry to your wife? Do you? Let me see hands of those who used to say. Remember, when you raise your hand, the sister is looking. That, my husband, how can he? In front of the people. Okay. Sisters, do you sometimes or all the time say sorry when you have wronged your husband? Let me see hands. Now the hands are very few. But it's okay because you are saying the right thing. But the brothers, almost all, they raised their hands. But that we will need to check it with the sisters. That's why I used to tell the people that when you say someone's wife is good, someone's husband is good, you are not telling the truth. If you want to know about me, ask my wife. If you want to know about my wife, ask me.
Amen.
There you will find the true story. But if you just come and visit us, you see her jumping that side, making you tea, and you think, hey, this woman is a good woman. No! Don't worry about those things. Ask me. Amen. Elders, is it not true? God bless you. The elders are supporting me. Right.
Amen.
Here they say, when you say sorry, don't just say sorry. You should say it well. Amen.
Amen.
Agree sometimes because you are the head in the family, when the sister say, why did you do, you just say sorry. That story, you need to say it well. Usually the words alone are not enough. You have to get inside your spouse's heart. Feel his or her pain. And in order for him or her to forgive you, he or she have to feel completely understood. Otherwise, you might say, I am sorry. And your spouse might say, it's okay. But nothing will change. Amen.
Amen.
May God bless you. Let me end up with what you know. From that time is the spoken word. I won't read it. I will just give you from that time, preached on the 20th May 1961, starting from paragraph 67. I will just summarize, because I know you know this, because you read the message. It does not appear in one book. You read the name. It was him and his wife got in a little argument. Now Normally, when the argument is there, you may find that it's about money. I don't say always. Sometimes. Amen.
Amen.
Then after that little argument, they parted their ways. The brother went to work. And then he said goodbye. That one said goodbye. But when he went through the gate, he felt something. That goodbye, it's like the other goodbyes. But in it, there was no feeling. That's why he had to go back. When he opened the door, he checked. The wife was not around. But the wife was behind the door crying. Amen. Now, he did the same thing, but with a meaning, with a feeling. When he said goodbye, kissed her, said goodbye, goodbye. Now it had a feeling in it. So, brethren, certain things we need to do them correctly. I know, more especially on the side of the brothers, they are very quick to take shortcuts. Say, I said sorry. Why do you still, are you still sticking on one thing? Last week I said sorry, but you still talk about this. No, you say you did it, but without a feeling. If you can do it with a feeling, there are some missiles of messages that are transmitted to her heart. That indeed, my husband is saying sorry, and she will accept that. Vice versa. If the sister says sorry, must not do it as formality. No. If she said sorry, you will feel it from the heart that he, indeed, she is saying sorry. So, brothers and sisters, with these few words, I just wanted to greet the Eastleigh Church. Amen.
Amen.
And I hope and I believe we are no longer going to complain. We are going to have lovely homes with peace, respect, love, and many more. And if we are like that, God is going to bless us. But if there's no peace in homes, it will be hard for God to bless such families. May God richly bless you all. I will ask the pastor there, I've forgotten the name, but I will recall it at the end, to come and close the service in prayer for us.